Welcome, everyone. This hearing of the Minnesota Senate Subcommittee on Veterans is now in session, Monday, February 10th, 2025. Here's what we're doing today, folks. We're going to hear a couple bills from members. Our first will be Senate File 586 from Senator Hochschild, Veterans on the Lake Appropriation. Then we get to hear from Grant again, and that's Senate File 613, Veterans on the Lake Grant Appropriation. Then Senator Seeberger will share with us about Senate File 674, Mental Health Services and Outdoor Activities for Currently Serving Military Personnel and Veterans Appropriation. And then last, we'll close the day, but certainly not least, with the sharply dressed Senator Liske, who's going to tell us a little bit about Senate File 388 and the State Veterans Cemetery Burial Field Removal for Spouses and Dependents of Eligible Veterans. So our first order of business is Senate File 586, Veterans on the Lake. Senator Hochschild, if you would please tell us a little bit about what we're doing here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Today I present Senate File 586. This is a $100,000 appropriation for a grant program for veteran and disabled veterans to visit veterans on the lake in Ely. I can't think of a better way for us to support our disabled veterans than bringing them up to the most beautiful part of Minnesota, which I have the opportunity to represent. Veterans on the Lake is just outside of the Boundary Waters, and this is an opportunity for these disabled veterans to come up to northern Minnesota, experience the outdoors, and create camaraderie and connection with one another. Oftentimes what we find is that disabled veterans miss the opportunity to connect with one another. They might live in different communities or not feel like they're connected to those that they served with in the past. And so this is really a chance for us to bring those folks together to really explore the outdoors and be together with those opportunities. Mr. Chair, just for your information, since 2021, the legislature has appropriated $50,000 annually to create this program. So it has been in existence for a couple of years, helping support disabled veterans from around Minnesota. And the program has been a huge success. Veterans on the Lake is designed to honor those who have contributed and sacrificed for our nation and help them heal from the pain and suffering they've endured. This grant program will continue to connect disabled veterans with the wilderness in northern Minnesota. And Veterans on the Lake is truly a statewide institution, like I said, bringing disabled veterans from all across Minnesota to be able to get the healing, rest, and relaxation that northern Minnesota provides them. And with that, Mr. Chair, I do have two groups of testifiers.
Thank you, Senator Hochschild. Mr. Birkenpass?
That is correct.
If you would please state your full name for the record and commence your testimony when you're ready.
My name is Andy Birkenpass. I am the general manager for Veterans on the Lake Resort.
Feel free to share with us a little bit more about what the Veterans on the Lake Resort is all about.
So Veterans on the Lake Resort, located on the cusp of the Boundary Waters, Fall Lake, Minnesota. And part of our lake is in the Boundary Waters, part is not. We're actually the only resort or operating facility that's allowed to take pontoon boats into the Boundary Waters canoe area because of the services we provide to disabled veterans. A few numbers from us from last year, we served 4,595 people. Our veteran occupancy at our facility was 88%. 71% of those people were disabled vets. 41% was from group use, and our active duty military served was 6%. Able-bodied veterans was 9%. Non-veteran walk-ins was 3%. And youth was 9%. And when I say youth, I mean we cater to such groups as like the Minnesota Wild Sled Hockey Kids. So those are some of our youth that we serve. We have a priority list of Veterans on the Lake Resort. First and foremost, the disabled American veteran and their families. Second, current and retired military and their families. Third, disabled public and their families. And last but not least, we do allow the general public to come in. That helps us fill the gaps in our schedule and helps us produce amenities for our disabled veterans, which is our number one priority. Some details from the 23-24 grant cycle. We spent of the $50,000 grant, $18,125. We served 25 veterans. Our grant cycle was January to June 31st. We did return $31,875 to the Department of Veterans Affairs. What happened was we're still a functioning resort, we're a booked resort, and we were on a fiscal year for that bill. So by the time we received the funds for the bill, we were booked up pretty hard and it was hard to spend those funds. Jumping forward to the 24-25 season, currently, which would be July 1st of last year to June 31st of this year, so far we've spent $37,700 to date. 52 veterans have been served so far. We've got 17 more to go. Each $50,000 we have received serves approximately 68.9 veterans. One thing that I would like to say to the entire committee is that we don't cut it off at a 0.9. If we have 65 people that come up and we have another group of 10 people, we shoulder that expense because we believe in what we're doing as a resort, as a facility. Some of the groups that we served throughout the state of Minnesota, Vets R Us, which I will have testifying for us today, Veterans of Steel, so these are veterans that work at all the mines in the Iron Range up where we're at, the Fleet Reserve Association, a bunch of retired Navy chiefs that come up from the Coon Rapids area and throughout the state of Minnesota, Memories Made Guide Service, Veterans Resource and Enrichment Center, which is also down here in the cities. The Minnesota Softball Appreciation Foundation brings a group up every year. Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America, which is where I've got my start with this organization. I used to run down in Iowa. We actually served about 30 states, and they all continue to come to Ely, Minnesota, enjoy our facility. They're all spinal cord injured vets. And the last but not least, Capable Partners, which are disabled veterans, and they provide in-home care for these people. One thing I would like to note is, as I mentioned before, the details of the 23-24 grant cycle, we returned $31,875 because we were on a fiscal year and not a calendar year. I would like to ask if we could change to a calendar year. That helps us with our bookings. And the bottom line is, if we receive a grant, which I certainly hope that we do, we're able to appropriate those funds throughout the state again and use them all.
Thank you very much, Mr. Birkenpass, for your explanation and for the work that you do. And now we'd like to hear from Valerie and Howard Rasmussen. Would please come to the dais and the table and state your full name for the record and commence your testimony when you're ready.
Valerie Rasmussen. I am from Fergus Falls area of Minnesota, a little town called Wendell, just outside of Fergus, and I am the president and founder of Vets R Us. We had the privilege of taking 13 veterans, a lot of them disabled, up to Veterans on the Lake January 10th through the 13th. A lot of these veterans don't have access to ice fishing houses. Some of them don't have equipment to fish with. So we provide that, and we're fortunate to be able to get up to Veterans on the Lake, and they provided all the ice houses and bait and stuff for us. They also fed us 3 meals a day, which was completely outstanding. We got our start because in the rural part of the state, there's not a lot of services out there for veterans. My husband, Howard, is a disabled Navy veteran, and we got started because we needed to fill that void out there. The gentlemen that we took up to Veterans on the Lake are all from the west central part of the state, and then one gentleman came up from Mankato. To give you a little backstory and education on why these retreats and things are so important for these veterans is a lot of them are isolated and alone. When you have to, I wish you guys could come and experience what we experience when we bring these gentlemen together. It's like they've known each other for their whole life. They get in a group and they'll start talking. They start passing information on how to navigate different VA systems, how to navigate where they need to get help, and those kind of things. Without retreats like this on Veterans on the Lake, that's not possible. We saved one life in 2023. A gentleman was going to commit suicide. He came fishing with us, simple fishing trip, something that we take for granted every day. He got home on that Sunday and told us that, "You have no idea what this weekend meant to me." He said, "A week ago I was going to commit suicide, and today you gave me hope." That gentleman connected with the veterans that were on that trip. They helped him through a divorce. They helped him through changing jobs. We've helped him because he was able to build support. He was able to find people that were experiencing the same things that he did. This gentleman was on that trip on Veterans on the Lake, had never been ice fishing before, caught three walleye, and the grin on his face said it all. He connected with other veterans, so now he has built himself a community of support. And no amount of money can replace that, because when he picks up that phone or he emails or texts one of those gentlemen, they know what he's going through and they support each other. That's why Veterans on the Lake and programs such as ours is so important to fund, because these gentlemen need to be brought out of the shadows and getting the support and the recognition that they deserve, and that's possible. We were fortunate to be able to meet Andy and his team, and I can't tell you what a fantastic job they did. The facilities are awesome, the hospitality. Andy and his team stayed out on the lake with our guys until 10 at night. They were clearing roads, they were making sure they had bait, and just the smiles on the guys' faces when they came back in from fishing just warm your heart. So I would implore you to please fund Veterans on the Lake, because I know we will be continuing to go up there and supporting them with groups of ours. And I'm sure other people, as the word gets out, will be making use of those facilities. They're beautiful facilities, and we can't thank them enough.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rasmussen. Yeah. Now is the time for members' questions, and I thought I'd start off by asking you, Ms. Rasmussen, could you tell us a little bit more about like your own organization and what you do? I'm not trying to detract from our attention on these other issues, but you're here, and you've got an organization. If you could share with us a little bit, promote yourself. Tell us how awesome you are.
Okay. I don't think you detract from another group. It takes an army. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take one organization to help these veterans. It takes me connecting with Andy, connecting the veterans, getting them where they can gather and get to know each other. But how I got started is I went on a retreat with my husband up at Camp Bliss and was told a story, and I'll try to make it quick, and I'm sorry I'll get emotional because it touches me so much. There was a gentleman by the name of Lane that told a story. And you have to imagine there's like 12 gentlemen and their wives sitting around table. And Lane told the story about a Vietnam veteran that he had befriended. And this gentleman came back from Vietnam. He was whole, but he lost his legs in a motorcycle accident here. So he kept trying to push Lane away. He was very angry. And he told Lane, "The only thing I want when I roll out onto my deck is an American flag flying in my backyard." So Lane got together with three of his veteran buddies, and Lane was in Afghanistan. And I'm sorry, my mouth's getting dry. So he took those three guys, and they got together, and they dug a flagpole hole, sunk a flagpole, and Lane took the flag from Afghanistan. He had lost a lot of his serving fellows, had lost them. He was a commander. And he took that flag and he hung it on that flagpole. And that gentleman rolled out onto the deck, and there was Old Glory flying. 2 weeks later, the gentleman died. So it was his last wish.
When I looked around that room, I saw these gentlemen, veterans. They had no worry about the tears streaming down their face, and the healing that I watched take place that weekend touched me so much. I knew I had to get involved. I knew I had to get something out into the west central part of the state to serve our veterans there. So I came home, and I came home from work the next day, and I told my husband, I'm going to start Vets R Us. And he goes, how are you going to do that? I said, I have credit cards. So I booked our first comedian in our little town of 168 people, and we sold the community building out, and we've never looked back. I do all my own fundraising. I told my husband if I had to sell cookies on a street corner to fund what we do, I will. Because the healing, even the life that we saved in 2023, we saved a life last year of a Vietnam veteran at our Vietnam veterans getaway because he was contemplating suicide for over a year and was very close to committing suicide. His wife emailed me and said, you've changed him, thank you. That's all I need to hear. And I will keep going to Earth's End to help these gentlemen and ladies. We have a few ladies that fish with us too. We took 21 guys down to Central Texas on a hog hunt in October. And the camaraderie and the togetherness and the healing and the exchange of information is just overwhelming to watch. So places like Veterans on the Lake is extremely important. What I'm doing is extremely important. I don't want recognition for it because the gentlemen and the ladies that deserve the recognition are the veterans that served our country. So that's how we got started, was just an implorement of healing, wanting to help them heal. And that's what we do.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rasmussen, mm-hmm. for telling us that story and for the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
I think one of the things that we're thinking about as a committee is that when you help veterans, you help communities. And that's whether it's a family member, whether it's a small town, it's important to always think about those relationships. So thank you so much for attending to them.
Well, last year we touched 207 veterans. When we take a group fishing, it's anywhere from 20 to 40 guys that we put on the water. I have 38 boat captains that I can call on at any time to volunteer. They volunteer their time, their boats, their fishing poles, everything. And you're right, when you touch a veteran's life, you're not only touching that veteran, you're touching the family, the friends, the extended families, it goes on, and then it just rolls downhill from there. So I appreciate you considering these bills and considering the veterans that deserve our support. It means a lot.
Thank you. So members, do we have questions or comments? Senator Wiesenberg.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you guys for being here. This is a really good bill, and I'm glad we can do this. And I don't know if Grant you, or Senator Housechild might know this, or if you would know this, Chair, just as an additional way to maybe get funding, do you know if this would be able to come out of legacy? Or?
That's a good question, Senator Wiesenberg. My understanding is that legacy cultural appropriations are typically for new projects rather than operational projects as they're continuing to go. In terms of LCCMR, I don't think it's really gonna fit there either, unfortunately. But I do like the way you're thinking of trying to find money where we can to help people who need help. Unfortunately, I don't think either of those would work especially well, but we'll do some homework.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanna make sure we get the money, so.
Members, any other questions or comments? Senator Housechild, any closing comments on this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just end by saying that I think the Boundary Waters is one of the state and national treasures that we have here in Minnesota, and what better way to honor our veterans who have given the sacrifice of serving overseas to get the opportunity to experience that treasure together and that camaraderie that Ms. Rasmussen talked about and Andy talked about. So I hope you'll strongly consider this bill, and I look forward to us continuing these amazing programs up in northern Minnesota.
Thank you very much, Senator Hausschild. Senate File 586 will be held over for possible inclusion. Thank you, Ms. Rasmussen, for your testimony and your work. Mr. Birkenpass, I don't think you get to leave. You have to stick around for a little bit longer. You're not off the hook quite yet.
You're not a problem, sir.
Senator Hausschild, when you're ready, we're ready to hear a little bit about Senate File 613.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was just informed that they have received LCCMR for trails.
Yeah. For trails.
So, you know, under that frame of those funds. So they have been able to get some funding that way, which is great. Okay, Mr. Chair, I'm also here to present Senate File 613. This is a one-time appropriation to help veterans on the lake with a septic system upgrade at their facility. This upgrade will help the resort capacity, but also help protect the water of Fall Lake and the Boundary Waters canoe area. As previously noted, the Veterans on the Lake is designed to honor those who have contributed and sacrificed for our nation, to help them heal from the pain and suffering that they endured. Veterans on the Lake is truly a statewide institution, as we talked about, bringing veterans from all across the state to experience the opportunity to see the Boundary Waters canoe area. So with that, Mr. Chair, pretty simple, straightforward appropriations bill, and happy to answer any questions. I also do have two testifiers, Mr. Burr and Mr. Birkenpass as well.
Thank you, Senator Hausschild.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yep. Nope. I missed your name there, Eric. Sorry about that.
So what are we doing?
We Eric is here to testify. My apologies. I mixed up the names.
All right. Excellent. Mr. Birkenpass, do you want to go first?
Sure. So Veterans on the Lake Resort was started in 1981, board formed in 1981. Saw our first guests in 1982. The resort existed before that. It was two separate entities. There was Squaw Bay and Sunny Dean. I don't know the history of Sunny Dean, but I do of Squaw Bay. 1965 was its inception, and I'm sure that Sunny Dean was came along about the same time. The Boundary Waters Act came into effect in 78, I believe, 78. And the Forest Service purchased both properties, took them over, and the idea was to house Forest Service employees, critical staff, firefighting individuals, and it only took them a year to figure out that it wasn't very cost effective to have a 27 cabin resort that was not bringing any income in. The loss of income was incredible. So the need for the upgrades of the septic system, I would say it is from 1967. It's a gravity system. It's old. It's a rock trench type system. And Lake County, per building permit codes, we needed to have an inspection on our septic. Not that it's leaking, but it didn't meet standard, industry standard now, or standard for current building design. So we have to put a new septic in. And I says, that's kind of my history coming from Iowa. I did a lot of septic tanks, septic fields, and I figured, boy, most of this could be is $50,000. And it was an eye-opener at almost $200,000. The reason for the high cost is because of the soils that we have and the drainage in the area that we have. Of course, we've talked about protecting our resources, and we want to do that. We want to be good stewards of the land so we can retain our property as long as we can. We do have a design build in process. We have a contractor hired to do it. The numbers are not off the chart or off the wall numbers. They're actually clean figures for us, and it's $189,000 plus or minus some. So we're asking for $200K because we know that some projects require extras, and we're preparing for those extras. These funds otherwise would come out of our triplex project, which is a six-bedroom, full wheelchair-accessible cabin that we're building. We're knocking down cabins, and if you look at our website at Veterans on the Lake Resort, we have cabins 29, 30, and 31, which are called the triplex. The current triplex is not ADA or wheelchair-accessible, And I feel as my job and my service to disabled veterans, we want to make everything wheelchair accessible that we can. We currently have 13 cabins that are wheelchair accessible. It's my goal to make them all wheelchair accessible in time. Granted, funds need to come for that, but this would help free up some of those funds. It was a pretty big expenditure that we weren't quite prepared for.
Thank you, Mr. Birkenpasse. We also have Mr. Marinen.
Yes, Eric Marinen, Chairman of the Board. I've been with Veterans on the Lake on the board since 2020. And since that point in time, we've been moving forward very progressively to upgrade our facility and make more handicap accessible cabins and other facilities, fishing piers and other. And the triplex was really the next thing on our long range plan. Our mission, of course, is to remove barriers for people with disabilities. And so the long range plan is slowly eliminate those. We went forward, we secured the funding for the triplex project, for the building itself, and during the building permit process, it came as quite a surprise when we needed another $200,000 to accomplish the project. And so we're still moving forward, and our intent is to keep moving forward. I would like to thank, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank all of you for the $50,000 grant, which we've been receiving since 2021, that has been a great success in helping people who wouldn't receive that opportunity in the past. I think that's about all, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Marin. Do we also have Mr. Burr here today?
Nate? Mr. Chair, my name is Nathan Burr. I am a board member at Veterans on the Lake, as well as a 23-plus year member of the Minnesota National Guard, getting ready to retire here with 21 years of active service coming up pretty soon. I have three combat tours, many overseas training events, and state active duty missions across our state and other states throughout my career. As you heard, our facility is very unique. We have cabins, trails that are fully accessible to wheelchairs. We have a wood heated sauna. We have pontoon boats and other boats equipped for people with disabilities. We currently are the only organization allowed to have pontoon boats in within the boundary waters. You do not find these accommodations at any other facility. We are here to connect those with disabilities and mobility issues with our wilderness. This appropriation we are discussing today will help us continue to provide opportunities for more disabled and able-bodied American veterans to have a therapeutic wilderness experience in northern Minnesota. The healing power of the wilderness and environment that surround and encompass Veterans on the Lake is impactful and noticeable. I am one of many that have found respite and healing at Veterans on the Lake. During my time as a commander, I lost 6 men due to unexpected death, suicide, and tragic training accident. Needless to say, the difficult and tragic time was not easy for myself or my family. Veterans on the Lake has provided that focused family time and space needed to help the healing process. Mentally, physically, and emotionally, and relationship-based growth is allowed to thrive within what Veterans on the Lake has to offer. Senate File 613 and 586, I know which was discussed earlier, matters. And they help veterans from all eras connect, share, heal, and grow. Veterans on the Lake sets the conditions and the environment for this to occur, and the funding allows for the most comprehensive approach for this desired outcome. I've been able to visit with multiple veterans on many of these retreats and their time at the resort, and saw firsthand the benefit that each experience at Veterans on the Lake has. In today's worlds of veterans, generational gaps sometimes act as barriers to connection and relationship building. I've seen this barrier disappear at Veterans on the Lake. I've seen shared experiences, although completely different circumstances, allow individuals to build immediate trust and heal together. The bonds and friendship built during these opportunities are beyond explanation. We are here today to thank you all for your consideration and Senator Hochschild's appropriation request. And for that, I want to thank you all for your time. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Burr, for your testimony, but also for your service, and congratulations on retirement.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Members, we got questions or comments for Senator Hochschild or his testifiers. Senator Kupick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for bringing this bill forward while you were sitting here testifying. I was scrolling through your website, and I'm dreaming of summer here on a cold winter's day. You really do have a beautiful facility, and it's really, I think it's a great offering for the veterans of Minnesota that you offer these services to them. So I just wanted to, if you have not had a chance, I suggest you go to the website. It'll make you dream of summer. So thanks.
Senator Dornick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, this is a great project. Thank you for bringing it and for the work you guys do and supporting our veterans. So thank you very much. Just a couple questions on the timing. I think the project is starting soon. Do you have a start date? And then as far as Senator Hochschild, the funding, how we get that to them in the right timing, do we have that kind of navigated somewhat?
Senator Hochschild?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dornick, I'm going to pass that to Andy, I think, just to sort of talk about the timing to make sure we get that right. And then it's a good point. We should consider sort of the timing of legislation if it is timely for them.
So our project is deemed to start once the frost comes out of the ground. Now, our frost may be a little deeper than what it is down here, but I have been in touch with our contractor. We did follow all of the guidelines for bidding and bid letting for this project, so we met the state criteria on it, elected a licensed septic installer, a master installer, who happens to be a local installer to boot, and actually their family owned the resort before he started his excavation company, so he knows a little bit about the land and about what we're about, and I think they're gonna treat us the best, but he wants to get it in as soon as possible. Lake County has told us that we cannot occupy the facility until the septic is put in. So there is a little bit of a push on the timeline from our end. I can rob Peter to pay Paul to cover this expense, but like I said, we're taking away from another critical project if we do that.
Senator Dornick?
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Follow up.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Senator Dornick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So with just navigating with the money, I want to make sure, is there any problems with getting the money to you guys if the project's done? Senator Hochschild, who could answer that, or Mr. Chair?
Senator Hochschild or Mr. Brickenpass, in terms of like other sources of funding might be an important variable here too.
We can definitely cover expense, but as I said, it would take away from future endeavors with this triplex project. So the sooner the better, but I understand it has due process to go through.
Senator Dornick. Members, any other questions or comments? Senator Hochschild, any closing comments you'd like to make?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a great bill and a great program to support, so I hope we can do so. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Senate File 613 will be held over for possible inclusion. Up next, we have Senate File 674, Senator Seeberger. Mental health services and outdoor activities for currently serving military personnel and veterans appropriation. So we'll do sort of two testifiers at a time, I think. So Mr. Tetrault and Mr. Kuhn, if you could both please come to the desk with Senator Seeberger. Senator Seeberger, when you're ready, to Senate File 674, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. It is my honor to present Senate File 674 to you today, which provides for some funding for a wonderful organization called Hometown Hero Outdoors. Hometown Hero Outdoors supports members of our community that have given so much to us, and I'm talking about our service members and veterans. Since 2017, Hometown Hero Outdoors has served over 12,000 members It's important they continue to facilitate outdoor adventures that help the healing process of our serving military, military veterans, and first responders. I think it's important, and I know that this subcommittee recognizes that mental health and mental wellness is often an underappreciated topic. I think it takes a lot sometimes for folks to step forward and say that they're not okay and seek out the help that they could really benefit from. I'm glad to see the cultural shift that allows people to be vulnerable in that regard and seek out help and assistance, but programs like Hometown Hero Outdoors make it just that much easier when it's more easily catered to the needs and hobbies of those who have served us in the military. I'm going to let my guests speak more to the program itself, but I appreciate the subcommittee considering this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Sieber. Mr. Tetrault, if you would please state your full name for the record and commence your testimony
when
you're ready.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee. My name is Christopher Tetrault. I am a Minnesota resident. I run Hometown Hero Outdoors. I'm the president and the co-founder of the organization. We started in 2017, and since we've expanded into 26 states, but this is our home base. Just a little bit about myself. I served as a Red Bull for 9 years, deployed with Bosnia and Iraq with the 1st BCT in 2005, and I've been in law enforcement for the past 16 years. And with the organization, our goal is to facilitate outdoor recreation for our military service members, veterans, and first responders. Today, obviously, we're here for the military and the veteran side of things. So one thing that I want to really point out here is that out of all the members that we have in our organization, 85% of the individuals that we have served have been military service members or veterans. And these individuals have been suffering from many things, from PTSD, depression, and suicide issues. One of the things that we probably have heard and echoed here several times, but it's still, if I have a chance to talk about it, I will, with 22 veterans a day committing suicide, 1 in 4 post 9/11 veterans struggle with PTSD, as well as since, according to the 2022 National Veteran Suicide Prevention Annual Report, 60% of veterans who die by suicide have never accessed the VA mental health care. Many avoid traditional therapy due to the stigma and barriers that there are. In 2020, 60.3% of veterans who died by suicide had not recently used VA mental health benefits at all. So outdoor therapy solutions, that's where we come in. Us as an organization, we provide alternate means for our veterans and military service members to have community-driven solutions to help as peers. And then research also indicates that outdoor recreational therapy activities can significantly improve mental health among veterans. A study that was funded by the Sierra Club between the Veterans Affairs and the University of Michigan found that outdoor activities and participation in group activities like camping, hiking, snowboarding led to long-term psychological well-being for veterans. HHO provides hunting, fishing, hiking, canoeing, kayaking, family barbecues. We take children out with their parents, and we're able to reestablish that time that they may have lost with their families in the outdoors. So we establish purpose and community. One of the things that we do at Hometown Hero Outdoors is we give surveys, pre- and post-trip surveys for the organization to see how we can better ourselves as an organization and what we do for our services. But also we talk about mental health in the surveys. And I want to share some of our impact, which I believe we've provided to the committee too. 74.1% of participants report excellent mental health after an HHO trip, which is a 38.8% increase from their pre-trip survey. 77.7% experience significant stress reduction. 94.4% say they will continue outdoor activities in a long term without us or with us. That's a huge thing for us, is we're trying to get new healthy habits, get them off the couch, get them into the outdoors, and be able to have them engage in healthy habits that's gonna help their longevity and their mental health. One member even stated, I hadn't left my house in months. After my HHO trip, I finally felt like I had a purpose again. We even take it a step further. Due to the relationships that we build in the outdoors and going on our adventures, individuals confide in us and we create long-term relationships. You're gonna hear from a couple of those individuals today. There are times where they reach out in a time of need or crisis where they call us and say, we need help. So we began to use a program called Assist Training, which is Applied Suicide Intervention Skills Training, which is a crisis intervention program that's 2 days training and puts tools in our belt to be able to talk people off the ledge, get them a safe plan, and be able to engage with further mental health professionals. We are not mental health professionals, and we aim to at least help them in whatever form we can, but we're not gonna let them hang, so that's where ASSIST is a very useful tool. Why funding is needed. Over 90% of our funds go right back into our members. At approximately $100 per person that we serve is what we use to go into the outdoors, and it's free for them. Our 100% volunteer staff utilizes our funds in a very fiscally responsible way where we stretch that dollar as far as we can. Part of this appropriation that I shared with everyone today is that 50% of the funds that we're requesting is going to go directly into our outdoor adventures, getting people in the outdoors, reconnecting them, and continuing to serve them in a better way. 30% is going to go towards additional mental health training for our volunteers and also employ the train-the-trainer type aspects so we can do internal trainings within our team. And then also part of that is to actually help employ mental health professionals in the community that after if we implement our assist training or preventative measures and we know that they need the help, that we're able to assist with that. There is a stigma that happens in these career fields. In the military and veteran side, if they are continually, if they are still service members, if they seek mental health guidance, they worry about career longevity. And we provide an outlet as a third party organization where we can have that completely detached, get them the help and the funding that they need to get that assistance to help with their longevity in their career and potentially strengthen their mental health. 10% is going to go towards outreach and growth. How do we serve and find more veterans? Our website is incredibly robust, so we're looking to streamline a part of that to be able to get not everyone off of social media looking at things, but also to help on our website because of the fact that not everyone is utilizing Facebook, and also the fact that Facebook is not controlled by us. So we want to employ an application on a phone at some point where we are able to have these trips, events, and adventures get pushed out to individuals who are engaged with us, but also reach more in our state. 10% is also going to go towards some of the fiscal assistance towards running an organization, such as our insurance, running our website, and then other financial assistance that helps run the organization overall. We do employ a 5-person accounting firm also that takes over our books, and we are very transparent in everything we do. Overall, the organization is thriving, it is growing, and the demand is there, and we need it, and we find that it's very helpful. I want to just take one moment to talk about a little bit more about that 30% of that funding for mental health professionals. We have partnered with an organization called the Bijah on the Backside out of Canterbury Park, does thoroughbred racehorse equine therapy, and we've worked with her in order to help get some of the veterans and other individuals to help strengthen their mental health. But then we also work with another individual named Brittany Misquick, who is the owner of Wellness That Fits. And she is a suicidologist. She has a doctorate in suicide, and she has nothing more than a biggest heart to help people and keep people here with us. So with that, yes, our organization is thriving, and we absolutely are looking for additional funding to assist with what we're doing in the state. And I know that we can save lives. We have saved lives, and we have saved relationships. And thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Tetro. Mr. Kuhn, if you could please state your full name for the record and tell us your story, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for your time. I'm Jason Keene. I'm a member of HHO, formerly of Charlie Company 275, and also right here in Minnesota, HHB 1 of the 125. I spent a year and a half in Iraq serving this great country and this great state. HHO to me, Chris talks about all the nuts and bolts and all the structure things, but when you look at members who go on the trips, we're building a community. Nobody knows the veteran as well as the veteran right next to them. A lot of veterans have a little bit of, what's the best word to put? They don't open up very easily to most people, whether they're mental health professionals, government people, anybody else. They open up a lot better to other veterans. So with HHO, we get groups of people going out, and the point isn't to talk about all of our trauma. The point is just to enjoy each other's company. And what ends up happening when we enjoy each other's company, we build that trust. And I've seen on social media, I've seen multiple people reach out for help. And HHO has been able to get them the help. August 22nd, 2022, I became critically ill. Excuse me. I spent 2 weeks in the ICU and two months doing the hospital thing. My mental health at that point took an absolute nosedive. my wife kind of seen it happening, and my wife reached out to connections that I have in HHO when things really got bad. And she was able to help get me the help that I needed. So through connections that we have in HHO, she didn't know exactly what was going on, but it all stemmed back to PTSD that I had when I was in Iraq. They helped us move into the house that we were living in while I was in the hospital. They were able to get us in touch with another organization that helped pay for Christmas presents for my children because I was out of work for so long. They're a wonderful organization that really builds the team, the community, and gives us vets a very safe space to discuss some of the things that, I mean, there are things nobody really wants to talk about. So, but that's all I got to share. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Kane, for your service and for your story. We appreciate both. We now see Mr. Dieter and a Mr. Peters. Mr. Dieter, if you would please state your full name for the record and commence your testimony when you're ready.
Good afternoon. I'm Chaplain Matthew Deitner. Served 13 years in the Minnesota Army National Guard as a Red Bull, and I continued my service in the Army Reserve for the last 2 years. I'm still currently serving. As a chaplain in the Army Reserve, I see a lot of veterans and individuals, soldiers, that are struggling with their mental health, their mental wellness. They open up to me. I hear the confidential stories. You're all aware of statistics around how veterans struggle with mental health more than the average population. My experience as a chaplain says that those numbers are underreported. And this is where nonprofit organizations like Hometown Hero Outdoors come into play. Chris mentioned the many mental health benefits to simply being outdoors. And as he said, the primary mission of Hometown Hero Outdoors is to provide a variety of outdoor experiences. I personally have been waterfowl hunting, pheasant hunting, fishing, both ice and open water, and horseback riding. Through the opportunities offered to me through Hometown Hero Outdoors. They really are more than just one thing. The outcomes of those trips, as stated in on their website, though, also include improved well-being and stronger community bonds. So it's not just about the space. It's not just about the trip. It's not just about the experience. It's about the outcomes that come from that, the mental health aspect that comes with that. Hometown Hero Outdoors provides the space to really build a community. And this starts with the event that someone may attend and goes far beyond that. My first trip with Hometown Hero Outdoors came in the fall of 2021. The hunting was nothing to speak of. We had nothing come into range. We were looking for waterfowl. But I remember that trip fondly, and more than 3 years later, we still have that original group chat going. All of us are still very much in contact with each other. Shortly after that trip, one of those members went through a divorce and considered taking his life. The people in that group that he had bonded with over that trip, we were the first ones that he was able to reach out to and ask for help, ask for support, and really say out loud the things that no one really wants to say. Through other deaths in the family, other divorces, and various hard times, that group has bonded and provided support to each other. HHO brought us together and really helped form that community. And so I'd close by saying that Hometown Hero Outdoors has the infrastructure in place through all these volunteer leaders that they have throughout the state. They have the infrastructure in place to really reach all these veterans within the state, within all these individual communities. They have the infrastructure in place to train their trip leaders to really reach out and connect with all the veterans who are interacting with the organization in different ways. Through access to funding, HHOers are going to be able to train more of their network in suicide intervention skills and partner with mental health professionals to deliver the care that veterans need. So I would close by saying that HHO has the passionate staff that wants to care for veterans. They have the leadership to administer the funds well. And this bill is going to provide the funding to help further the mission and give veterans a source of support and hope in their hard times. Thank you.
Thank you, Major Deitner, for your service and your testimony. Apparently, Mr. Peters is not able to be here today. So we're ready to talk. Members, do you have any questions or comments for Senator Sieber or testifiers? Senator Gustafson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have specific questions necessarily. I just want to say that this has been a really powerful first committee assembly of these bills, and I'm just hearing a consistency about mental health, and it has been really impactful to listen to several of these bills talk about preventing suicides. And we just don't talk about that enough. I think that these are all worthy causes, specifically because I think, and I don't know if it's, you know, I'm sure it's with women as well, but I do notice sometimes with men, and I hope it's okay that I say that I think these groups are really important because sometimes you're not always taught to speak about your emotions or how you're feeling or put yourself in that vulnerable situation, but it can mean the difference between life and death. And especially, I know the last bills that we were just hearing from, that instant camaraderie of people who have been there, and you don't have to sort of have all of those early conversations about what it was like, because they just kind of know. And so I think that that's really important. And I do think that this one specifically is talking about mental health services, but the last ones that we talked about with Senator Hochschild didn't specifically point out that it was addressing those needs. But like you said, it's going horseback riding, we're going hunting, we're going fishing, and it's not about let's sit down and talk about our feelings. It's more about building those relationships and that trust and creating a space where people feel comfortable that they can talk about it, and then that can just mean everything in the world. So I'm not saying anything that you all don't know. I just wanted to be a voice of support, and I'm really happy you're here. I know your dog is a working dog, so of course I won't pet your dog because that is he's on duty, but, or she is on duty, but it's taking everything in me to not want to go just scratch their ears a little bit. So you'll do it for me when they're off duty. Thanks, everyone.
Members, are there questions or comments for Senator Sieber or testimony? Testifiers. I'm glad that you said that, Senator Gustafson, because I think that there is clearly a common theme in the folks we've heard from already today, and that's that isolation is deadly. So thank you for being company to people who need it. And thank you, Senator Sieberger, for bringing this bill to us. Do you have any final statements you'd like to make?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hope you've heard how dialed in they have it. Hometown Hero Outdoors has had enough time and experience and expertise doing what they do to really have it honed in, operating in other states and serving and helping so many people. And I think you guys have hit it right on the head. It's not about getting together and sharing feelings so much as it is establishing that bond and sharing an experience. There's nothing like being outside, being in the outdoors. I was, over the weekend, I was ice diving, as a matter of fact.
Of course,
and
you were.
with a bunch of firefighters, and we're all rescue divers. And it was, you know, maybe you guys are like me, but I've had kind of a hard couple of weeks here at the Capitol. And this sometimes doesn't feel like the real world in a lot of ways. And it was something really refreshing to be out in the negative 12 yesterday and going under the ice for a little while. It really fixed my head. So I get it. It's about doing what's important to you and maybe getting yourself off the couch and being with some folks that aren't going to judge you. So thanks for taking the time to hear this bill, and look forward to further conversations.
Thank you, Senator Sieber. Senate File 674 will be held over for possible inclusion. Our last order of business for the day is Senator Liske and Senate File 388, State Veterans Cemetery Burial Fees, Removal for Spouses, and Descendants of Eligible Veterans. Mr. Schlichting and Mr. Milich, feel free to come up to the table with Senator Liske now, if you would, please. And Senator Liske, when you're all settled, do you want to tell us a little bit about your bill, please?
First, Mr. Chair and committee, I'd like to thank you guys for hearing this very important bill. We've heard it before 2 years ago, and we were really close to getting across the finish line, so I'm hoping we can get there this year, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts on this bill. So first, I'd like to thank my co-authors, Senator Wiesenberg, Senator Lang, Senator Duckworth, and Senator Hoffman. The purpose of this bill is to not only support our veterans, but also to support their spouses and dependents. That's one of the most important things to me, is when our veterans serve, so do their families. And so with this bill, I'm hoping to make it a lot easier on those family members and the veterans themselves. I won't speak to it as much as I will have my testifier speak to what the importance is of it, because I think it comes and hits home a little bit more when they get to tell you why it's so important. So I'll let them take it over.
Thank you very much, Senator Liske. Mr. Stickney, if you'd like to start, could you tell us your full name for the record?
Could I please allow Mr. Millage to go first, and I'll support his testimony. Is that all right?
Sounds good. Mr. Millage, if you would please state your full name for the record and commence your testimony when you're ready.
My full name is Kevin Millage, and excuse me, I'm very nervous.
We're all friends. It's all good. And you're doing good work, and we're here to learn from you, so I hope that helps you relax a little bit.
Try. Again, my name is Kevin Millage. I am a retired Master Sergeant from Minnesota Air National Guard. I am a veteran. I served two combat tours, both in 1991 Desert Storm, 2004 Iraqi Freedom, and one national border security mission, Operation Jumpstart 2006 and 2007 on the Arizona-Mexican border. I'm here to testify on behalf of veteran spouses for Senate File 388. The state of Minnesota has always taken care of their veterans through the wonderful outreach programs like Yellow Ribbon, Veterans Transition, Veterans Linkage Line, Minnesota One Source, and for these I thank you. When a veteran is called up for duty, they have a limited time to prepare before they deploy, and for security reasons, they sometimes don't even know where they're going or how long they're going to be gone for. We train in the military training due to our jobs, and we train in conditions, whether it's hostile or humanitarian. I would like to talk about what a spouse goes through on a moment's notice when a veteran deploys. They are now all alone. They become both the parents of their children. They are the authority figure, the educator, the accountant, the mechanic, the home repair person, and basically every task they shared together as a family, now the spouse is tasked with. They don't sleep right. They are in fear for their veteran that they remain safe. They have to cope with the daily family tasks that they are not accustomed to handling on top of all the stress. Every time the doorbell rings or knock at the door comes, they hesitate to answer. Is it a neighbor, a family member, or is it the chaplain with a leader of their church to bring bad news that that veteran isn't coming home? And after that, then they have to deal with the transition period of that veteran coming home. It takes a long time, what that veteran went through and what that spouse went through. So in closing, this is why it's so important that Senate File 388 is passed to allow the families to bury a spouse with that veteran at no additional charge at a Minnesota veteran cemetery. Because all they did while the veteran was deployed, I firmly believe they've earned it. They were left alone and handled everything while we were out doing a job for our country. And that's the least we can do as a small token of appreciation for their sacrifice while the veteran served our country. Thank you for hearing my testimony, and I apologize for being so nervous. Oh,
thanks, Mr. Millage. I appreciate it. I understand where you're coming from. Senator Gustafson is terrifying. I am always in fear of her, so I completely understand that this might be a little bit intimidating. Mr. Schlichting, if you would please state your full name for the record and commence your testimony when you're ready.
Jack Schlichting, also from Cannon Falls, in fact, a neighbor of Mr. Millage, and we're both fortunate to be constituents of Senator Liske. Was generous enough to carry this last year for us and then also was willing to present it. And I am the spouse. I'm actually not a veteran. My wife served, did retire early, kind of because of family situation, so she didn't continue, but she was only active for a very short time to get her flight rating. She went in with 3,500 hours and then got flight rating and then became a C-130 pilot and served in that capacity. But I'm a little bit different than the spouse that Kevin talks about, that I was doing all those fix-it things, but now I got a baby. And she got deployed. Her first major employment during our marriage was actually pre-kids. So that one, it was kind of easy. And that was in an actual theater. And I apologize, I don't always remember the proper terms of the actions and ranks. But I do remember the event. She was in the desert at the end of the first Iraqi war, in a sea war, in a transport role, whether it's troops or equipment or whatever. But then with kids, she got called up and did a couple of deployments on some drug intervention stuff and had some, for her, it was great experiences into some unique flying conditions that she didn't ever get. But I'm at home with a one-year-old. And, you know, I know we like to think there's, in my personal growth, I'm not the greatest nurturing gender in the household. Let's be candid in our situation. And so, you know, that was a challenge. And so, you know, the spouse is involved in the whole action, and they do have skin in the game. I mean, they're involved in the situation. And yes, we benefit from a lot of the things that occur. But to think that at the very end of life, and as a spouse, I'm grieving my wife or Pansy's grieving Kevin, and then she starts to look at her own future and thinks, oh my gosh, you know, I got to budget a little bit more money to be interned with my spouse. It just kind of seems like one more kind of hiccup in the relationship of our kind of that other person in our marriage being the service to our country. So again, I do appreciate you hearing this again, and I be more than willing to address. I think Kevin's done a better job because he actually is the one who brought it to my attention almost a year and a half ago or two about how, this just kind of didn't seem right. And I agreed with him, and we were very fortunate Mr. Liske helped us out, and we've gone forward. So thank you very much for hearing it. And I also occur, I do hope that you support this and pass the Senate file 388.
Thank you, Mr. Slick. And for the record, you both did great. There's no reason to be competitive about it. You both did a fantastic job. I do have some questions about the fiscal note for this. I don't know, Senator Liske, if you would like to handle these, or we can phone a friend from MBA. Oh, okay. I have two questions, one about the cost, and secondly, about why. So perhaps could you sort of talk through the cost a little bit?
Yes, Chair Putnam and members, the fiscal note should be in your packets. And essentially what this is reflecting is that the bill has two separate potential mechanisms for funding the changes that were requested here. One is to use money that is in the Support Our Troops account, which is the money that if you get the Support Our Troop license plates, there's an extra piece that contribution that is deposited into an account, and then that money is split 50-50 between the Department of Veterans Affairs and the Department of Military Affairs. So this would draw potentially on those funds that are in MDVA's control. Right now, I think the latest estimates were probably about $800,000 a year, dropping into about $700,000 a year in upcoming biennia. So if the department followed that route, there would be an increased draw on the funds that are currently in that account going out to various organizations. The other alternative is at the bottom in Section 3, there's an appropriation from the general fund that would replace the lost revenue that would currently be coming in from the charges that are being made to the eligible dependents and spouses. The fiscal note then is representing what that number might be, or is it an estimate of what that number might be based on increasing number of burials each year and the likelihood that the burial fee would have to increase in ensuing years. So those are sort of the options the bill provides and what the fiscal note, I think, speaks to. And Mr. Chair, is that what you're looking for? Is there a more specific question I can respond to?
That's actually super helpful, and I appreciate that. But I would actually, if I could, ask a follow-up of Mr. Kelly from MDVA, if you wouldn't mind. If you're in a position to talk us through this a little bit, that's why would this be so expensive? If you don't mind, Mr. Kelly, could you state your full name for the record, and then just educate us a little bit, if you could, if you don't mind.
Sure. Chair, members, for the record, John Kelly, Director of Government Affairs for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. So the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs does not charge a fee for burial in our state veteran cemeteries for the veteran. We charge it for the spouses and dependent children and others. The cost of that burial fee, you know, that we have USDVA has exacting standards on, you know, the types of stones or other, you know, the urns and all of that. So it costs a certain level of funding. So right now, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs has a rate that they charge in the federal cemeteries for the eligible spouses, and we, our fee is in line with that cost. You know, just to look at the states around us, South Dakota charges the same fee that we charge. Wisconsin actually charges $978 for an urn and then $1,700 for a burial. So it's various. About 50% of the states in the United States charge a spouse fee to cover the costs of the memorial operations. So that is, you know, and the fiscal note reflects the cost that it currently is, and then we are, you know, we have the $978 fee is what it's going into effective March 1st, and then we are going to begin adjusting that cost annually at the start of the federal fiscal year every year to keep up with the costs that accompany doing the burial at the level that our Minnesota veterans and their families expect in our state veterans' homes. This was a one-time inflationary adjustment that we did that was larger than what we'll see going forward. We held the cost down for the spouse independent burial fee for a decade as long as we could, and then we had to move forward with that just due to the cost of inflation and everything like that. So there's no you know, additional ancillary costs. We're charging what it costs to bury a spouse or dependent in our veterans cemeteries with dignity and respect.
Thank you very much for that explanation, Mr. Kelly. It was extremely helpful. Members, do you have any other questions or comments for our testifiers or Senator Liske? Mr. Kelly.
I do just want to put just a fine point on what was talked about the two different sources of funding. You know, we very much appreciate, Senator, putting in the blank appropriation in the bill. You know, the position of the department has always been if there's an offsetting appropriation to remove the need for the fee to cover the costs, then, you know, then we can get behind that. What I would say about the Support Our Troops Fund, if the Support Our Troops Fund is not a one-for-one swap, the Support Our Troops Fund funds grants across the swath of our state for veterans organizations, it would likely not be able to, if it was solely, it would solely fund this, is the kind of the lay way to explain this. If we were to switch that, it's not really a true full source of funding. So I just want to also just put a finer point on that. So, but again, we do appreciate the fact that the bill has an appropriation, and you know, we're willing to work with the author and the members of the committee as this bill moves forward.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kelly. Again, members, any other questions or comments for Senator Liske or his testifiers? Seeing none, Senator Liske, your final comments?
I do have one of my testifiers just would like to ask a question, if that's okay.
Oh, of course, Kevin, yeah. Like to ask, what do you got?
Well, I just want to be perfectly clear. This is not mandatory for veterans to go to a veteran cemetery. Sure. A veteran and a spouse or the family, they can choose to go to any cemetery of their choice, their church cemetery, anything. This is basically what I'm putting forward here, is that if a veteran chooses to be buried at a Minnesota Veteran Cemetery or at Fort Snelling through the federal, and if they choose, the family chooses to have the spouse buried with the veteran. So that's what I want to just be clear about. So that's all.
Thank you very much, Mr. Millich. I appreciate the clarification. Senator Liske.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I would like to put this maybe in a little different perspective. The thought that hasn't come out yet is the reverse order of things happening. If the veteran survives and their spouse passes away prior to them, the veteran now has to suffer the idea of paying for it themselves. And so For perspective, I put it in both perspectives. So this would alleviate some of the stress and pressure on them. And so with that, I want you to have a thought about that as well, as it doesn't always happen in the same order as what was being described today. With that, I also would like to say that I, you know, give a shout out to a couple other bills that I've been working on. There's a couple other license plate ideas that I've put forward, and that might have a bigger impact on that same fund, and actually make it grow in a pretty significant amount. So, hey, I look forward to support on maybe those license plates as well. But, you know, to bring a little levity to the situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Liske. Senate File 388 will be held over for possible inclusion. Members, that's the end of our business for the day. Folks, I think we announced this before, that the Veterans Subcommittee will be meeting every second Monday. For future reference, that should be our regular schedule. If additional business comes before us, that can be altered, but right now that's our general policy. So see you in a couple weeks. We are adjourned.